Welcome back to the show. Well, we know June 1st, teachers will be going back to the classroom, work on transition plans, complete the final report cards going out on the 22nd of June, and then some PL days, some professional learning in anticipation for what September might look like. Join us on line number one as the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association, Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean. You're on the air.
Good morning, Patty.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Certainly, obviously, there's been some clarification, certainly in broad strokes, as to what the remainder of this year will look like, moving into preparations for the 2020-21 school year. I think I'll state the obvious that no one wants COVID to last longer than it has to, and certainly no one wants COVID to be passed any more than their problems as teachers. In an ideal world, we'd have a situation where a vaccine was developed tomorrow, mass distributed between town and the end of July, and life would resume as per normal in September. Of course, we don't know what that will look like. I think right now, the information I'm looking at, I think this does frame out things going forward, and then we can make the necessary plans and preparation for what may be the case in September. I think we all have to get our heads around the idea of preparing for the worst and hoping for the best, and the virus will dictate the path we have going forward.
Are your members, are the teachers worried about the potential to be in the classroom in September?
Well, right now we don't know. I think right now we have been very clear. I'm certain that the district's memo that came out yesterday very clearly said this, is that the chief medical officer and her recommendations will certainly dictate the path going forward. I know when I look at the memo that was released, school staff members, while they can go into the buildings, but there's a number of things there that recommendations had to be adhered to, appropriate physical distancing and so on. But the key thing is teachers are very clearly illustrated that they may continue to work from home as long as they meet the expectations outlined. And that's what we expect going forward. There'll be further discussion on what exactly some of these expectations will look like, but that's where things are.
It's tricky for everybody, and I mean, the fear of the unknown is very real, and we don't know what September is going to look like. We're on an encouraging path at this moment in time. Give us an idea exactly what's involved in when they say transition plans and what have you. What is that?
Well, I think for me, for transition plans, would need to know there need to be a baseline in terms of identification as to where the students are exiting this current school year. I think that's important information that when school does resume in some fashion, whatever the fashion will be, that will be look like. I think report card preparation needs to be a final report card that'll be done as per information. That'll be look like. But the important piece aside from that, I think it's important that adequate preparation be done. I know last week the minister was on your show, and certainly previous that others weighed in as well from government. I did hear Mr. Pardy the week previous. One key piece to getting ready for whatever our school system will look like in September, whether it's a hybridized model, whether it's a site-based model, whether it's online, there has to be adequate preparation done. That has to include a number of things. I think there has to be consideration to given to device access for students, but certainly for teachers as well. These are concerns that have to be addressed. We have to ensure that should there be a site-based component to the education environment in the fall, there has to be access to adequate PPE for those individuals that are necessary. Again, following the guidelines of the chief medical officer, those things had to be. I think everyone would agree that any decision about reopening has to have health and safety as the primary focus of any decisions. Beyond that, other plans can be made. The other thing that really has to be drilled down on, there has to be adequate professional learning. I was an online educator prior to assuming the presidency, but in terms of those that are actually experienced and have expertise in delivering online learning pre-COVID, there's a very narrow number. In fact, I would suggest less than 50 have had direct experience. Now, I'm very proud of them. I think a number of our teachers have done some great innovative things. I see it all the time. Teachers have maintained the continuity of learning as best they can. But moving to an online teaching environment, learning environment, is not a simple matter of throwing a switch. There's the technical expertise that needs to be drilled down. And again, as the minister recognized, teachers did not go into their programs with training in that area. But aside from the technical expertise, which I'm, again, a number of teachers are doing some great things, there's also the pedagogical expertise that need to be broached on. And these are things that have to be done. So cluing up this year, maintaining this area, but the adequate thing, the preparation for it may be the case in September, I think that's key and critical. And when I read through the district's memo, I look at the government's press release, and while I haven't seen the memo that undoubtedly was distributed through the CSFP, I can only assume that they've maintained a similar directive to the teachers within CSFP.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really know how adequate online, just a complete reliance on online learning can be for different grades. You know, for self-directed online learning for a five-year-old, I have a hard time envisioning how well it can work. Now, of course,
there are
safety
challenges, undoubtedly.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a variety of it. Do you think that there's going to be other factors in play? You know, there's complicated matters when it comes to, for instance, if the children aren't in school and the parents are back to work, then what? I mean, do you think that has to be a consideration? Of course, safety is the guiding principle. We don't want COVID to be spread throughout schools. And we do know there was an eight-year-old tested positive in this province. So obviously safety first. But do you think the other issues, the sideline or the contemporaneous issues like daycare? I mean, what happens if mom and dad are working and the kids are at home school?
They certainly had to be acknowledged, absolutely. They certainly understand that there are many social impacts that our school system has. But I would stress and I'd maintain that at the heart of any decision, the first decision is what is in the interest of health and safety. I've seen jurisdictions across the world. We looked to France last week. I was reading a story, but they had to shut down their schools again because of concerns about COVID outbreaks. When COVID was initially, the research is coming through, where the initial response was that children aren't affected by this. Now we're seeing research indicates that there's a number of inflammatory syndromes that could have very serious impacts on children.
Oh, no doubt. Kawasaki and the variety of them. Yeah, there's a big concern, no doubt.
And we had to acknowledge that. We also certainly would acknowledge that there are social concerns as well. But the first and foremost thing has to be, can this be a safe environment for students to return to? Not just the students, but of course students don't just go to school, they also come home. Is that a safe? I mean, I think that's the first thing it has done. How do you maintain safety for the children, for the populace at large? And we see a number of things coming out as you learn through. So that has to be the first consideration. Secondly, in terms of the structure of the school environment, back to your point about online learning, I would suggest this, is that online learning is a complement, it's a supplement. It provides programming options that may not be there otherwise. But no, I would certainly acknowledge it is not an actual replacement for site-based interaction, direct interaction between student and teacher in a site-based. That is the ideal situation. However, with COVID as it progresses, that may not be possible. Ideally, it will be possible, but I don't know what the virus will dictate. And this is why we have to rely on the science and the experts. Heaven forbid that we drift to the dynamic that our southern neighbors beyond the 49th parallel have drifted into. I've got some serious concerns from the outlook looking there. I think that presents a lot of problems. But I just want to stress that it's important that safety concerns be adhered to, first and foremost. That's the first decision. Beyond that, I think engaged between all educational stakeholders, of course, including teachers, including the association. And there have been engagement with the association on what the learning plan for September could look like. They haven't been finalized, but I think it's very important that those plans be finalized, taking into account the expertise of our professional educators, which would, of course, be teachers, represented by the association, and that will be the best path forward. I think we all want to return to normal, whatever normal will look like, but we have to do it in a safe manner. But just as important, whatever the educational environment will be, it has to be an effective educational environment. And these are why there has to be steps taken on the infrastructure side, look at devices for students, but also teachers. We have to ensure that there's adequate PPE available for those that may be going to the school environment, should that be a safe environment to do so. That has to be maintained. We also have to ensure that access to adequate professional learning opportunities for teachers are there so that they can not only master the technical component to the delivery, but also the pedagogical component as well.
Appreciate you making time, Dean. It's there's nothing like a simple decision, part and parcel of what we're dealing with. So there's so many different areas that have to be considered when we look at schooling. Fingers crossed we stay on this encouraging path so that we can see the schools reopen. But of course, as you rightfully point out, only if it can be done safely. Thanks for your time, Dean. Stay well.
Kind of welcome. Thank you. Bye.
All the best. Bye-bye. Dean Ingram, president of the NLTA. When we come back, Josh wants to talk local business. Then we're speaking with you. Don't go away.